here's how it kind of works here at Navigation Church. A year out, we start talking and we start praying and we start planning, God, where are we going to be and what is the conversations that we need to have? And so I can tell you, over the summer, we're planning on a summer teaching series. I've been looking forward. We're going to try to teach you a majority of what the New Testament books are, what's in them, and what you can do when you read them. And I know that seems overwhelming, but I think we have a great plan. So we put these plans in place so we can get literature printed and we can be able to provide the best content that we can. And then something happens. COVID happens. Then something happens. Social distancing. Then something happens. You have protest happening at the slaying of an innocent man on the side of the road without any judicial system to prosecute. And you go, hang on a second, this is probably a conversation we need to be a part of. So welcome to our conversation, School of Hard Knocks, which God had us in the middle of anyway. But today's sermon title has changed to this, Class of 2020. How many feel like the year 2020 has been 5 years long already? Right? It just kind of keeps going. And every time you think you have your hand around it, it shifts and new regulations come out, new protocols, new government officials fighting with other government officials, and you just don't know what to do or how you're supposed to handle this. And so, welcome to 2020. My question for you is simply this: are there lessons that we can be learning right now together? And I would say yes. So I have, if I would say this, kind of three thoughts. They kind of weave together, but they can be viewed separately. But one of the big ones that I eventually want to get to is the protests that have been happening about race and injustice in our community. And I want to first and foremost tell you this, that if you've tuned in over the last 3 weeks to our online services, there's a chance that we look culturally irrelevant and spiritually oblivious. And here's why. They were pre-recorded. I knew that I was going to be having some vacation time and I didn't want to focus on sermons. We had an idea to have some of our apostles be a part of what we're doing here. So we sent out texts. They were available. And in a 4-day period, we were able to record 3 of them. So we just kind of, can I say this? Man, we got through some sermons in 1 week and we put them on the shelf. And then we put them on the shelf, and I went on vacation, and Pastor Brent had some time off. Aaron was the only one here. Pastor Aaron was the only one holding down the fort. And next thing you know, society pivoted on itself. And so now why are we where we at? Did it start 3 months ago with COVID? So just so you know, 3 months ago, almost to the day, is when we canceled having live services. Again, those joining us online, we've never stopped meeting as a church. We didn't call this a reopening. You know why? You ready for this? This is going to be a great time for you charismatic freaks. Amen. You don't close down God. Right, you don't shut down the kingdom because we can't see each other face to face on a Sunday morning. We never closed. We just had to gather in a different way. And so here's what was happening. We started hearing all this news that COVID was happening and there's this pandemic. But wait, pan means everywhere, but it's not everywhere. Is it everywhere? Is this true? Is this false? What are we doing? And then we were trying to decide, are we closing on a Sunday morning? And then we actually heard large churches of 20,000 plus started canceling and announcing that they were closed for a minimum of 8 weeks. And we're just sitting here going, they don't love Jesus and they don't know God. And the next Sunday we've canceled for the last 3 months because they apparently knew something we didn't, right? Like, and so we're really wrestling with, do we close, do we not close? So here's just something we started going with. And again, lessons learned in School of Hard Knocks in 2020. We decided we don't need to be the first to close, but we shouldn't be the last to close. Because at what point do we need to be socially aware and spiritually conscious? So we ended up closing as far as the physical location, but our online campus continued to go. And here's what we found out. Ready for this? For those of you that have had a tough last couple months, God can do some really cool things in some really bad times. God can do some amazing things because we were asked to close the door. And I know what we wanted to do. We wanted to say we have the freedom to assemble and we have the freedom of speech and we have the freedom of religion. But we also have something that God gave us. Jesus would be his name that I'd want to quote right there. And he said, Mark 12, 30 through 31, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. How many are just, yeah, we want to do that. And by the way, there's a second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So we started sitting there going, wait a second, what is the best way to love our neighbors 3 months ago? Well, according to health officials, according to those in the know, it was to create some distance. But no one ever asked us to stop loving God. Because if they would have said, hey, we need you to stay at home and you're not allowed to stream services, you're not allowed to preach the name of Jesus and all Bibles need to be burned, we would have went, hang on, like, no. But here's what they're saying. If you could create social distance in order for us to love our neighbors the best we could, and we went, you know what? We can do this. We can love our neighbor this way. And so we ended up taking a break as far as meeting from the physical location. Here's the coolest thing that God did. I don't know why I'm jumping around like a boxer because I'm not one and I'd probably get winded if I did it too long. Here's what's the coolest thing. Thanks for pointing that I'm out of shape. Here's the coolest thing that happened. We, along with churches across the nation, were forced to figure out brand new ways and better ways to communicate outside of our walls to a lost and a dying world. God took a time when everyone goes, oh, the church is going to be social distancing and you're going to be hurting. Wait a second, that may be true, but guess what we have to do? We have to get online now. We have to get on social media now. We have to figure out a way that when people have prayer requests to connect with us now. Can you imagine in the year 2020 that the churches are actually relevant in a digital age? This was absolutely amazing. And for just a church our size, no big deal. Like we were around 500 people on an average week watching us online and we jumped from 500 to 3,000. We still saw nearly 30 salvations. I'll pause. Pause for clapping. Like we made, and then I've talked to Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist. Man, I've talked to all these different pastors that none of them were even online, and you're pretty sure they had to ask Jeeves how to even build a website. It was so out of date. And next thing you know, they're online. They're connecting their people in small groups. They're figuring out how to deliver the content of the gospel to where people are at. And I'm just sitting there going, God, I love that you made us get out of our four walls and start thinking differently. So rather than cursing society. And you know what we could do? Here's what would be fun. Let's all give our opinion if COVID was bad or not. Was it a real thing? Was it a false thing? Was it a hype thing? Was it not a hype thing? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get five of you up here to have this debate with me, and I bet we can come up with eight different opinions. Right? Isn't that how that works? And so what we need to live in this place. And then another pastor that I was listening to, I love the way he put it. Because so businesses are starting to come back. And by the way, this is a pastor of 60,000 plus in multiple campuses. And he said, one of the things they started encouraging businesses to go back, but they were still saying churches shouldn't because they're not essential. He goes, here's one of the things that I learned. During the COVID period, our giving did not go down. Our small groups increased, our online increased, the influence we're having in our society increased. He goes, if it makes you feel better not to call us essential, fine, but the business of the church was not hurting. Now, again, if we get to the place where they're going, hey, you have to no longer love God, even though we're letting the rest of the world get back to normal, that's when we raise our hand and say, no, no. But at this point, we chose and we decided to live with how do we love God and our neighbor the best? So it was kind of easy. So even in coming back, guess what? There were other churches open before us, but we decided we don't need to be the first, but we shouldn't need to be the last. And so in this time of COVID, here's what I would ask you in your lessons at School of Hard Knocks. What is something good that you could have found in the middle of this pain? What is the lesson that you can pull out of I'm social distancing? And so here's what, let's go down this road. Could it have possibly helped us find the real purpose for why we were created and we're living? Right? Because the church, we're all about meeting on Sundays and having a bulletin ready. We haven't had bulletins here forever. What a really bad example. So having our online, like we have all these things that we need to have in place and ready, but now all of a sudden those things aren't needed. So we started going, well, what's the most essential? The most essential is connecting people to people and people to God. It's helping figure out a way to take people in their next step in a growing relationship. And we as a church have actually sat around this with leadership to go, what are we not doing when things, quote, get back to normal? Like, what are the things that we were just doing that wasn't actually moving the gospel forward in the environments that we want to create? It was great to say, what are we stopping? And I don't know about you, parents, or, you know, I'll just make it to everybody, but I'm specifically thinking parents that have baseball, glee club, dance, chess club, like whatever you do at night, right? Like, and if you, yeah, oh, that was a great joke. So glad I deleted it. Okay, so it ran quick. So here's what I've absolutely loved. I love not being busy every night. I love not to think someone needs, I'll give you another run at that because you wanted to say it, but you were busy thinking about what I was saying. I love not being busy every night. I love not having to go, drive, pick up one kid from practice or drop another kid off to a practice and then drive to Fenton, Missouri. For those who don't know online, that's 40 minutes away. You're just driving over there to waste $250 in gas a month. Why? Because they're only going to schedule one game on a Friday night when you have three kids that play in three different age groups. And you're just driving and going and driving and going. And then they decide to have games 4 hours apart. So it's not long enough to drive home, but not, so you have to stay there. Well, you got to feed these kids. They're just hungry. They eat all the time. Now you're eating out. You're spending money all the time. You're go. And then all of a sudden it stops and you're at home. But here's the negative about this. Here's what I would say in your school of hard knocks and lessons to learn. You can either be the negative or find the positive. Psychology Today did an article where they started looking at during the COVID period, and actually they paralleled it to a time when a hurricane had hit in a specific area. And they project that domestic abuse could be up 20% in America alone with 15 million brand new cases. Why is that? Because dad's used to going to work and coming home and only being with the kids so long at night, he's home all the time. Mom, who used to, but now this, has to deal with life as normal. People who used to always be busy now are finding ways to fill their time with drugs, alcohol, and other, and they come home and the person they are when they put a chemical in the body is drastically different than the person they are when there isn't. And so now you look and you go, why are all these cases? Well, it's because they're not taking time during this pause period of society to say, what is life really all about? And I would say this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this I statements a lot from here on out. I have actually found out that the most important thing I can be about doing is raising kids that I chose to have. Like, I actually wanted these things that eat and pee and complain. I mean, I wanted these things to be around, but then all of a sudden they're here and I'm annoyed that I don't have the life that I want. Wait a second, this is the life that I want. What if during this pause period, it's given me an opportunity to go, this is what's most important. Dinner with the family. Knowing Dude Perfect is coming out on Monday night and we're gonna watch another all sports battle. You don't know what that is because you ain't cool and hip like I am. I'm off the chart, hook, tight, rad. Stop talking. Words are coming out of my mouth. Like, here's this past Friday, like we were trying to figure out what to do, and all of a sudden my wife decided to lip off that she was a better at making desserts than me. You see my waistline? I'm great at making desserts, and I'm better at eating them. I know how to make desserts. So what did we do? I ran to the store, and I bought a bunch of ingredients just to have an all-desserts battle, and it was Team David versus Team Cammie. I had Gideon and Mariah, the all-stars, and we decided to rock it out, and Cammie's and mixing and blending, and the boys are running around, and I decided this would be better if we had running commentary. So we grabbed a Barbie doll, and we decided to do running commentary about mom's cooking. She's taking the cake out too early. That thing's going to fall flat. And we were doing, and we had, next thing you know, a ridiculous sugar highlighter. One kid said this, my belly don't feel well. And another kid said this, I'm never going to be able to sleep. 12 minutes later, I could go to bed now. And we were able to introduce him to diabetes. It was fantastic. We had a great conversation. Next thing you know, the kitchen is destroyed. The TV wasn't blaring. And every kid was happy because 3 hours later, we were together as a family. So a question for you. During this time, where it's not the rigmarole, go, 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 be, 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 do, do, do. Who has God called you to be? Because if you're married, I'll tell you now, he's called you to be an incredible husband and an amazing wife. How does that look like? You work on your marriage. If you had kids, well, I didn't choose to have kids. Well, you chose other things. So it's time to be a dad, and it's time to be a mother. And you know what's amazing? During this time period, we can be frustrated because we can't plop ourselves down on a couch and watch a football, watch a baseball, watch a hockey, or we can say this, what can I do to create the life that I've always wanted? And guess what? The rest of it's been stripped away for you. So in this COVID period where God can take great things out of a bad situation, the next thing is, what needs to be revealed to you for who you're called to be? And only you can answer that question, but I will say this. Our public pause, it's coming to an end soon. And I know here, right, someone, well, it's going to start back up in the fall. Here's what we need to do today. Let's not do what-ifs. Let's just talk about where we're at, what's going on. Here's how I want to say it. Let's take, for the next part of our conversation, a counselor's perspective on what we need to talk about. Because here's what happens in counseling. In counseling, you sit down across from someone else. I was going to say, who's been in counseling before? But no one's going to raise their hand because you're not supposed to be in counseling. But if you're not in counseling, you should be in counseling. So you sit down and someone comes in and you go, so what are we meeting about today? This guy, this girl, they just start going, right? Giving a ton of information. But none of that matters, just so you know. None of that matters because it's going to be the emotions, it's going to be stuff, and it's going to be things. And here's what a counselor does. Counselors look behind what's happening to try to see what's going on. And I would ask you for the next part of our conversation together, can we try to look past what's going on? Look past, is COVID a conspiracy or not? Are the Republicans, are the Democrats? Is it a World Health Organization, George Soros, whatever? Can we just kind of put a pause on all that to say, let's talk about what is going on? And this is when I'm going to use my I statements right here, and here's what it is. What do I need to be hearing in the season that we're living in? Because I mentioned this earlier, and I want to say it again. The last 3 weeks, it would appear that Navigation Church is socially unaware and spiritually inept when it comes to our society and what's around us. But due to the fact that we were pre-recorded, the conversation waited for today. And as much as our first time back here in a physical location, I wanted to be a party and I wanted to be at celebrating everyone, high-fiving and sharing drinks and spitting on each other because you're laughing so hard, like all that kind of stuff. That's not the world we're living in. And actually, there's one amazing scripture that says this in Romans 12, 15 through 16. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So if we came in here today at Navigation Church and laughed and joyous and celebrated because we were able to physically sit next to each other, I think it shows that we're absolutely unaware that there are people around our nation today mourning. And so myself, as long as with the pastoral staff here, we figured as much as we want to walk out smiling, playing, and celebrating, we're in a place in our society where we need to become very aware. And so I'm just going to start telling you about a little bit of my journey and what happened. So as I mentioned, I had an opportunity to go on vacation with my family, actually all my family. We were down in Florida. And while we were down there, my wife came into me and she said, hey, you know what's been happening in the nation regarding the protests, regarding the murder of this gentleman, Floyd? And you know, and I said, I do know about that. And she goes, I think you're going to need to go on your social media and make a comment. And here's the one thing that I've learned about social media, especially over the last 2 weeks. Anything and everything will be used you in the court of social media. Right, wrong, indifferent, grab a clip and put it out there. So I'm just going to throw this out now so it's at least in your ears. I'm confident I'll say something wrong today. I don't have any answers. You should know that at the forefront. I have a whole lot of questions, though. So my wife was wanting me to make a comment on my social media. But one, I wanted to be off. Just wanted to be away. Number two, I don't know what's going on. You know, I could say, man, this was a powder keg because you ask everyone to be separate for 3 months and, man, they're just ready to get out and this is the byproduct of it. We could go down the road of politics. We could go down the road of economics. But here's the thing we have to see, though, that there was a man that had a knee in the back of his neck and was unjustly murdered. And I don't mind saying it that. And I have great relationships with a whole lot of police officers as well as those who oversee. And I have yet to find one person and say this was justified. And our chief actually used words a lot firmer than that at the last city council meeting. So my wife's wanted me to make comments. One of the things, if you ever get on my social media, I had decided years ago that my social media is going to be fun. It's going to be about family. It's going to be about entertaining. And my goal is to never offend anyone on social media. So that's not going to happen. But now on this, get out there and say something. And so here's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to give a partial or half thought through comment. We live in a society that lives by news clips and 30-second commentary. But man, this thing isn't going away. And the protests aren't slowing down. And people are shouting louder. So what I decided to do, boy, if that ain't just a scary theme song to be coming out right now. For those watching online, you're missing Dirty Harry, Wild Wild West music. Holy Spirit, come speak louder. So I came back from vacation. And in coming back from vacation, I had just been stockpiling interviews and articles and thoughts that I wanted to get to. And one of the things that I had noticed, there was a whole lot of influential, I believe biblical-minded pastors, white pastors that were having sit-down conversations with black men. And so here's what I decided to do. I decided to go in. I know this is going to sound crazy in our time period. I decided to go in with an open mind. Because if you were to ask me, do I have my opinion on is race or racism real? I sure do. Or could I say it this way? I sure did. Do I believe racism is a learned behavior? That it's actually a taught thing by other people that are racist to the next generation? Well, I can tell you I did have a thought on that, but can I pause it moving forward to try to hear, to try to learn, can try to listen? Do I have an opinion that I think racism is a $1 billion industry and there's a lot of people that try to still propagate it because they profit off of it? I definitely have thoughts about that, but can I say it this way? I did, but can I put it on pause long enough to hear? Because there's a lot of people willing to sit on the other side of this table and listen. And by the way, a few of the people is Carl Lentz, who's from Hillsong United New York, had an amazing conversation with Bishop T.D. Jakes. You can see these videos online. Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. And by the way, that's the best title you'll ever hear for a video when you go to watch it. Emmanuel Acho sat down and had uncomfortable conversations from a black man to white men. Dr. Tony Evans, if you don't know him, amazing orator, communicator of the gospel, sat down and had real talks. Robert Morrison, who's actually a white pastor, he said this. He goes, hey, what do you see when I hold this up? And you guys see that word? It's coffee, right? And he asked the church, what do you see there? And they all say coffee. And he goes, I don't see that. I see cappuccino, hot cocoa, espresso, cafe latte. Why? Because he's viewing it from the other side. He goes, but will I be willing to have a conversation with someone to see their side? So I decided, again, me, not saying this is right, not saying this is wrong. I decided to go on a journey where I wanted to learn what I don't know and have conversations that at the time I didn't think I needed. Because just so you know, I don't know racism. I don't know. I've seen our building before that someone decided to spray a word, but so someone decided to spray a word and move on. Like, I don't know racism. I didn't grow up in a racist family. Actually, I grew up with my best friend who was a black guy. And I mean, my brother growing up, when my parents would go out of town, he was one of the families that I was at his house all the time. Most of the summer, he was at our house swimming. I can remember going on vacations with him. And one vacation, so distinctly, we were in a diner traveling, going down. And while we were sitting there, my black friend, all white family, my black friend says, "Hey, Dad." Why? Because he didn't call him Mr. Amston, Pastor Amston, Dennis. He called him Dad. Why? Because he was my brother. Like, this was the mindset I had. And he said, "Hey, Dad, can I get a soda?" Now, of course, if you know my dad, he said, "No, we drink him water." you can add sweet and low, but no, he's like. And here's the thing, I don't have vivid childhood memories. I don't remember my past. Actually, my wife thinks I'm very, very messed up because I don't live in the past at all. She thinks I'm, but you know, it doesn't matter. we'll talk about that in October. But I have such a distinct memory sitting in this restaurant when he said to Dad, "Hey, Dad, can I have soda?" And I still remember the face that the white waitress made. Because at that time, you didn't see that. You didn't see that mix. And I didn't know it till now, looking back. And I have another memory of when he was coming over to our house one day. By the way, I keep saying he. I don't think it'd be fair for me to say his name in this setting. But he was best friends. He came to the house one time. Dad said, "Hey, where you been? It took too long to get here. Because I know where you live. I know how long it takes." And he said, "I got pulled over by a police officer. And apparently there's been robberies in the neighborhood and they wanted to go through my bag." Dad didn't talk about it, but I so remember him leaving the house quickly. I grew up in a family where Dad stood up for his kids. So if you ask me, is there racism? No. You know why? Because it's not in my world. I don't see it. I haven't experienced it. I don't say those words. Truth be told, I don't understand why you wouldn't like someone because of the color. Like, it's so foreign to me, but I have a problem right now. There are hundreds of thousands of people saying there's a problem. So I can sit behind my comfortable house with my healthy family and my good church, worship Jesus, get goosebumps, and move on with life. Or I can just ask one simple question: what is it I need to hear? Apparently I haven't been hearing. And I do know this, it's not necessarily because I caused the pain, but am I willing to deal with the bruise? Here's why I say it that way. My wife's had a great opportunity over the last year or so to do some design work, interior design work, and COVID threw that off. But lately, she had an opportunity to go take care of a house, and no one was there, and other than a dog with a diaper. There's a story for you, but apparently that's a thing. And she got there, but there was some stuff that she had to move. And, you know, if you ever tell my wife, "That's going to be too heavy for you to move," she puts a pack of cigarettes in her sleeve and, "Hold this drink, I'll move it." You know, like, she kind of butches up and makes it happen. And so, me saying butch it up, just, yeah, no, I heard it. That'd be the clip. There it is. She comes home and she's just sore. And the next morning she has these bruises all over her. And I learned that she had bruises because I came up and I went to give her a hug and she flinched a little bit. And I was like, "Wait a second, why are you flinching?" And she goes, "Because the past hurts and the residue is still present." So when it comes to race relations right now, can I be at least aware enough that there could be some bruises? They're so deep that the color so penetrates that it should be obvious So I decided I'm going to listen. And by the way, right now this could be rubbing you and irritating you. And I would just say this, are you secure enough in who you are that you're willing to say there may be something I don't know? So I listened to all these conversations. I listened to what everything they were having to say. I was listening, and God dropped someone in my heart, and his name is Eddie James. And you may or may not know him. He's a musician that's been around the nation 1,000 times and once. And we talked this past week. Man, it was amazing because he actually had firsthand account of what actually happened when it comes to Floyd. He actually had firsthand account to what people had up there and what had happened on the street, the people who came in afterwards. He had firsthand accounts of someone taking a clip that he said, manipulating it, and he himself getting blasted. He had firsthand accounts of all these things. And one of the things that we started talking about was, in America, is there racism? Is it intrinsic in our society? Is there societal norms that as a white man, I just don't see? And Eddie, he started telling me about his own family. And he said, and by the way, at the end of the conversation, I said, dude, I wish I would have Zoomed you, recorded this, and the next 3 weeks just told the church, watch this part. So Eddie was telling me about grandfather, who slave, and the people that were in charge, owned him, hated their children. Just couldn't stand them, this white family, horrible children. So when they passed away, they actually left the house and the farm to Eddie's great-grandfather. And Eddie's great-grandfather, this is how he became the free man that he was, and he had this barn, the slave. When the children found out what the parents had done, they hired the Ku Klux Klan to come and burn down the house, burnt a cross in the front yard, killed his great-grandmother in the meantime. So Eddie's firsthand stories that he's learning. So grandpa moved up the road, different town, started rebuilding his life, having children, remarried, got a house, built it up. When this group knew that this had happened and found out where he lived, they came and burnt down the second house. Everybody knew who did it. Everybody knew why it was done. No one did anything. So they hitchhike all the way to Arizona, which is where Eddie grew up. And Eddie's mom grew up where she wasn't a slave, but she had the ability to go to schools that were blended, vote. That's that generation. But Eddie said, here's the conversation I had growing up. Because of the color of your skin, you are at a disadvantage. So you have to be smarter. You have to have a better resume, and you have to be better than the next guy ahead of you in order to get ahead in life. Can I tell you honestly, I don't remember having that conversation with my parents. Because here's why. I asked Eddie point blank. I said, hey, do I have white privilege? And by the way, that term alone was discussed. Should we and can we say it from the stage? And we absolutely have to, because we're going to have the most raw, real, honest conversations ever if we're going to make changes in the society that we've been called to, because if the church refuses to model it. And Eddie answered the greatest political answer ever. He said yes and no. I'm not any closer, man. Help a brother out. Tell me what's going on here. He said, no, because in the America that we both grew up in now, there's nothing you can do that I can't. You can start a business. I can start a business. You can run for president. I can run for president. Trump can win it. Obama can win it, right? It's even playing ground. But he goes, here's what you don't have. He goes, you started a race a long time before I did, and your race has been being ran with no weight on you, where because of the color of my skin, there are natural built-in weights that are on me. And he said, here's the best example. He goes, you know, even though my resume is better, and even though I have influence, and even though I'm educated, when I walk into a job, there's something that white people have had for generations that black people haven't, and that's social relationships. Because the generation before, there wasn't black business owners. There wasn't black influencers. There wasn't black educators. So the white people knew all the white people. And when we came in for a job interview, I was a guy in a piece of paper, but you were a person with a story and friends. And he goes, as much as we don't want to admit that's here today, the fact is it's still built into our society. And that's the definition of white privilege, is the way he sees it. And I went, I'm listening. I hadn't seen it that way before. And then, so here's what you do. Here's what we do, right? We're like, we hear it, and then we go into our own brain, and we're going to disprove it. Like, this can't be right, and here's why this is wrong, and we try to get it to fall in on itself. So I started thinking about churches. You know, church, Sunday morning, the most segregated time in all of America? Do you go to a white church or a black church? You go to a Hispanic church? So if you were to walk into any black church or white church right now, and then a black church asks the question, hey, would you welcome white people here? I'm telling you, I just don't think you're going to get the answer. No way. We don't want them people. We don't want Hispanics. We don't want, you know, Europeans. We don't want Australians. Let's not bring up Canada. That's a whole different thing. But no, I tried to bring some humor there because I'm as uncomfortable as you are right now. Here's the thing. That answer would be no. And if you came to an all-white church and said, hey, would you not want Hispanics and African-Americans? We would say, no, we absolutely would. But here, you know what the thing is? There's a difference between being multi-ethnic and multicultural. Multi-ethnic means we have different skin tones sitting in the same place. Multicultural is saying, I recognize your difference, you recognize mine, but somehow we can blend them all together. Because here's what happens. Churches create cultures. And here's, we try at Navigation Church to be a welcoming environment where you come in and we try, so at the end of services, we're going to encourage you to fill out a card if you're a first-time person, because if we can help you, if we can help get your name, we can help get you connected. If we help get you connected, we can help get you serving. Help get you serving, we can then get you, helping you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we set this whole thing up, but the problem is, are we setting it up for anyone to come or those who speak the language we already speak? And you go, well, no, we're pretty open here at the church. Well, I actually asked myself that question yesterday when I started thinking about all the signs that we put out. You probably noticed them coming in. For those watching online, they're CDC signs, or, you know, little things like don't lick the person next to you, you know, like. And I started thinking about all these English signs that we put out, and did I bother, and I own this. Did I hang one sign that was in Spanish, despite the fact that we have many that speak that language only living around us? That's an indictment on me, because I don't plan on them coming. So if they don't plan on them coming, why would I build a culture that they feel welcome? And if we're doing that in the church, can we really say that we're not doing it in the police, not doing it in the fire, not doing it in the courthouse, not doing it? It's because the white culture built all these things for generations. It's natural having the built-in rhythms. That itself creates division. And not that anyone means to, we just haven't had enough sense to go, we have to intentionally change it to where, yes, you have the same rights, but at the same point, let's all run the race together. And here's the thing, I'm just trying to listen, because I don't have answers to it, because I don't think I fully know the problem to it. And what we want to do, here's what we want to do to make ourselves feel justified and feel okay. We now want to say, well, yeah, but the protesters are rioters. Okay, well, let's talk about the political side and let's talk about the news cycle. Here's the thing. Are we willing to strip past the noise and past the pains and past the hurts and say, what is the belief that we're missing? Because there's a bruise. There's a bruise that our nation was built upon, which then begs for me to ask the question, what if it was my
What if it was my childhood friend that was on the ground with the knee in his neck? How would I be responding then? Because I wouldn't be responding because of the color of the skin. I would be responding because someone who was made in the image of God that I'm a friend with, that was imprinted with the DNA of our Savior, had an injustice done. What if I removed everything else and just said, wrong is wrong and right is right? And how can I love my neighbor as myself? And how can I do what 1 Peter 4:8 says when it says the words, above all else, love each other deeply? Because love covers a multitude of sins. I think there's problems in the world around us. I don't think Navigation Church was made, created, and is built for making you feel good with goosebumps and going home at the end of the day. I think we're people willing to ask the hard questions to get real answers so we can get the other side of the story. And here's the thing. If the church won't model it, who will? And I think we can. I was given an email. By the way, I just kind of have my notes up here. I didn't want to have an outline in PowerPoint. I was sent this email this morning at 4:30 despite a lot of conversations this past week. I've been criticized for going to my white church, but I stayed at Navigation. I'm a white church. I need to hear that. I can defend that, or I can take an honest evaluation from someone who views it that way. He goes, or this individual goes on to say, all these years, because I know who the real enemy is, it's not white people. It's the mindset of ignorance that keeps people in darkness. The turning point for me was my salvation. I realized that I'm saved by grace, not by race. God, today we need your saving grace upon the human race. God, COVID has been tough for a lot of people. If you've been in the healthcare industry, it's been weighing upon you. If you were a part of businesses that laid off or furloughed so many people, stress has mounted up. But God, during this COVID season, can you still turn beauty from ashes? Can you take the painful and give it purpose? And in this purpose-finding time, God, help us find our purpose. Why were we created? What am I doing here? And all the things that keep me busy in life, if the enemy can't get you to turn from God, he'll keep you so busy you can't run to God. And on this time when all of that has been stripped away, God, help us find our purpose. Husbands, wives, friends, lovers, let us find our true purpose in life and why we are here and what we were created for. But now, God, as we end our conversation today, I end it on purpose without a closing thought, without a big ending, without a 5 points to this. I end it now, God, because I want to continue to position and posture myself to be in a place to hear, to be in a place to listen. I have friends. We have family members. We have a community around us that is crying out of a pain that we may not be aware of or clueless to, but I do know this, God, that you are here to save us all through your grace, and you will mercy us with the gifts that we need in order to accomplish what you called us to. And God, may the church be the answer on this day. May I do my small part in the next conversation that I'm a part of that is trying to go sideways. God, I say no, and I stand up for righteousness. When I see the injustice of a system with its knee on a neck, may I be one that stands up and fights for righteousness. God, anything that I said wrong today, I pray that it falls by the wayside, but anything that's been inspired by your Holy Spirit and is biblically based, I pray that it remains and rests in our ears so that it continues to echo asking the question, how do I model? Because if we refuse to be the model, then God, it's an indictment upon all of us that we are part of the problem. God, this class in School of Hard Knock, it stinks. It is not fun. But don't grade us on a curve on this one. Help us pass it. We pray for the hurting. We pray for the bruised. God, help us bring a long-term solution and answer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.